We'll now move on to Dean Nelson. Dean has extensive firsthand experience in combating rising heat densities, and we'll share a little bit about how they are addressing the issue in Sun's facilities. Thanks for being with us, Dean.
Thanks, Tom, and thanks for Lieber for the invitation.
Absolutely. Dean, tell us a little bit about your move to high-density systems.
Sure, Tom. I'm going to start with a bit of information on Sun's portfolio, and then we'll go into the approach that we've used to address this problem. So Sun has a multi-billion dollar R&D portfolio all over the world, and it has grown exponentially over the last 15 years. So it's totaled about 1 million square feet of lab space around the world, and that equates to about 1,800 individual spaces or rooms, engineering lab spaces. And these range from 50 square foot closets all the way to 35,000 square foot raised floor data center type environments. And we've got loads per footprint ranging anywhere from under a kilowatt to 30 kilowatts of footprint. And what we have seen over time is that all of these different rooms have constant increase in power and cooling requirements. And we've always got to be reactive to those loads. People are always putting more equipment in, and facilities and IT aren't bridging or aren't meeting to actually meet this problem head on. So we also found that there's a massive opportunity here to increase the efficiencies and decrease the costs. Because we have so many rooms and such large square footage, we want to start to address this from a standards perspective. So the biggest thing we've seen is the parallel between what our customers are facing and what we're facing. We have the exact same challenges. So the Shared Lab Services team was formed 2 years ago to go back and get their arms around the portfolio and understand this environment. It is literally one of the largest operating costs at Sun when it comes to any type of facilities that is run because we've got such high densities in all these different areas. So the Shared Lab Services team had three main goals. And the first one was to be the bridge between facilities and engineering, or the people that are using the space and the people that are building and actually maintaining the space. The second one is to go back and actually implement standards in these spaces. So this is everything from the physical to the technical layers to the service management layers. And again, what we're trying to do is standardize to be able to get our efficiencies and get our arms around this portfolio. So the next part of that was to design product solutions based on these standards, that is standardize on how we put this in, how we can scale, and also to make sure that we are implementing these things in a global, uniform manner. So with this, this helps us drive the LifeVat Lab efficiency program. So we start to put in more technologies to go back and utilize each footprint to the furthest capacity we can. So there are some very specific pieces of this. We're investing in growth sites around the world, but in parallel, we're compressing many others. So for example, we have just shut down, or we've announced the closure of campuses around the world, and the two main ones are in Newark, California, and Sunnyvale, California. And this affects over 202,000 square feet of lab space. We are doing massive compression of this to achieve over 50% space reduction when it comes to the labs. And programs such as hardware replacement and that type of thing, funded at a corporate level, are targeting the oldest and most inefficient equipment. So this project is starting to drive the footprint load and up to five times the amount of current load as we see today. So engineering is a bit different in these cases. They're configuration-based and not compute-based, but the end result is the same. They need much more power and cooling for these different rooms. So what was important to us when we implement these spaces is to go back and have consistency, but also flexible designs. So we want to be able to compress as much as we can, make sure that that environment is mobile so that we can move things in and out for easy reconfiguration, because in the labs, things do change quite a bit, and I think that's a big difference between data centers and R&D facilities, even grids, is that you have equipment coming in all the time. What is consistent with the data centers is you have a mixture of these low, medium, and high, and super high density footprints. So that is really important that we've got spot loads all over these rooms, and it's very difficult to cool them. So we also found that raised floor is not a requirement in these spaces. A lot of it is legacy. We have current buildings, whether they're leased or owned, that we have to deal with. So there's weight loading limitations and ceiling heights and those kind of things. And we see that many of our customers have the exact same problems. How do I utilize the space that I've got right now? I may not have the budget to go out and build a $20 million data center space in another location. So what we decided to do was go back and figure out how can we make these mobile, make these scalable, and be able to provide the spot cooling loads or the spot cooling solution for the loads that we've got. So this is where XD basically rolled into our world, and I think it was a year and a half ago when we started looking at these products. Square footage is a premium at the company, and especially when you're looking at lab space. You need to get as much equipment crammed into these spaces as you can, and as you start to replace equipment, the loads continue to double, triple, quadruple. So that's where the scale is very important. So what we based our solution upon is like an apartment complex. So we are putting these footprints together and say, I don't really care what rolls into that footprint. It's going to be a standard footprint that enables a certain amount of cooling in its base, and then we've got scale above to be able to increase it in 4 kilowatt chunks. And for us, that was important. So we also found that our customers are facing the exact same problems. They've got existing data centers or existing space that they've got a lot of equipment in, and as they start to replace it, things start to get hotter, and they start to get hotter in a distributed manner. So I'm going to show you an example here of what we are doing, and we've completed these things around the world. I'll go into that in a little bit. The concept is that we have base cooling that provides about 2 kilowatts of footprint per rack. So this is traditional precision cooling, whether it's a raised floor, underfloor, or whether it's a bowling alley style or just a slab. We want to provide humidity control and air filtration, just base cooling, 2 kilowatts of footprint on average for these spaces. Then what we're doing is installing pre-piping for multiple expansion phases. So as you see here, everything above the 2 kilowatts of footprint is supplemental cooling. And that's exactly what the XD product was designed for. Be able to spot where I've got my load and add something in there. So the piping is there. We're using the flexible connections to be able to snap in these units, kind of like you would increase network bandwidth or you increase storage bandwidth by adding more disks. You're basically just adding more cooling into a room to be able to cool the problems as they come up when they are needed. So all the piping is in there at the beginning, so we do take that initial upfront hit. It is actually much cheaper to do it that way than it is to try and do this as an additional project in the future. And as I was saying before, not all the spaces have the capacity of raised floor, the legacy environments. So we are able to do this on slab or on raised floor. So if you go to phase one, you'll see that there's XDOs and XDVs, kind of a combination. There's pieces of cooling throughout the data center and basically giving us between 4 and 8 kilowatts worth of load per cabinet. And we can directionally put that where we want it to be based on where the equipment lands. You'll see that we start to snap in more units as we go forward. So we fill up all of the XDOs. And again, we're using XDO Plus and XDV Plus. So they give us about 20 kilowatts for the XDO Plus per unit that can be delivered for 2 cabinets. And then we start to add in more XDVs throughout the actual space and move up from the 8 kilowatts in the first to be able to go to 8 to 12. And then from there, we can go to 20 kilowatts or more, 20 to 22 kilowatts or more per footprint within the existing space. So this enables us to have that scale as we have the demand, as we have equipment rolling in, as the projects change, as business is business. We just go back and actually put in the facilities cooling solutions as a business is driving that need. So in summary, I think the important piece is high capacity, the scalable solution is very important. Per footprint, watts per square foot for me is dead. When it comes down to those spaces, once you get past 6 to 8 kilowatts of footprint, there's just no way to go back and handle accurately cooling distributed heat loads. So that's where we said the base load can be on a raised floor, it can be on the others just delivered with traditional precision cooling. And then we can do these scalable overhead solutions. So this also gives us the ability to manage the ride-through. Because we've got distributed systems or distributed cooling solutions throughout, we have different circuits above each of the different cold aisles, so we can lose units, and the actual XDs will operate more efficiently because they have heavier load, and the only thing that changes is that delta T increases. So we can handle the ride-through as these other units are kicking in or these other units are actually replaced or fixed. And so in our environments, the availability when it comes to density is, I'm trying to figure out how to say this, the availability is important, And most of the labs, they can handle an outage. So we don't have a ton of additional cooling within those spaces, but we can handle the ride through as far as a larger heat load for a small amount of time. So for us, it was a simple, consistent design. It does adapt to the environment as we need it, and it does reduce the actual maintenance costs of these facilities. The XDs are virtually maintenance-free. The only thing you're actually maintaining is the XDPs and XDC. So the other ones are just units delivering spot cooling. So our downtime due to upgrades, and this was a big deal for us, are virtually eliminated. Because we're basically planning for the future, we're future-proofing these spaces. We can go ahead and have additional cooling snapped in while things are live because it's already planned. The piping is there. The flex connections can be added. Things can be snapped into place. Everything is suspended from the ceiling, so there's nothing that has to be moved around for that to happen. And we finished these projects in both China, Prague, Norway. We've got additional projects going on, very large projects for California, Colorado, and India. Again, doing the same types of standards. And I think that's, if you go to the next slide, you'll see where these are actually distributed right now. We've been continuously finishing these projects, and more keep popping up. But all around the world, because we've got such a large portfolio, we're trying to get this actually solved as quickly as we can. And Sun is very serious about how they can go and standardize their environments. And what they love about this, and what I love about it the most, is that we are solving the exact same problem that our customers are facing. How do I scale within my current data center with the new equipment that Sun is building and their competitors? So we're seeing it on a daily basis in all the R&D environments that we've got, and we've got every flavor of every piece of hardware that you can imagine at this company, whether it be our own built product or whether it be the actual product from our competitors. So we have a very interesting, eclectic mix of hardware, which is very similar to what our customers have. So Tom, I think for that, it's back to you.